Let's go to the scripture that we're going to say again, start out again. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Now I know you don't go there every day to the book of Habakkuk. You actually looked at the word and said, how do you say that, right? At some point, maybe you know now. Some say Habakkuk, one of the prophets, one of the minor prophets, as we call them. But he says, I will stand my watch, set myself on the rampart, and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Vision is something received from God, and it's something you watch for. It's not something you dream up and imagine and craft yourself. You watch for it. You watch what comes from the Lord. In the last couple of weeks, we talked a little bit about scriptures that talk about light, bringing light. And it's no small thing that having that purpose and clarity on the inside of our hearts is called vision. It means you see something. And it's not so much seeing it with the physical eye, it's seeing it with your heart. And all of us at different times, you know, when we suddenly understand something, we say, oh, I see it. I see it. Now that I see it, I know what to do. And that clarity and that purpose. And now it's hard to get discouraged because I know I'm going to reach opposition. I have opposition, but here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I'm reaching for the prize, right? So it starts with watching. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Then verse 3, we'll add that in too. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, no matter what you go through, keep going, because it will come to pass if you'll keep going. Tarry, that means wait or pursue. I would like to say pursue. Keep steady on course. Don't quit, don't change. It says write the vision. So that's what we've been talking about a little bit. Again, referring to what I said during offering time, you know, I want to help you to achieve four things. Be born again, spirit-filled, healthy in body, and prosperous as well. And to do that, I have to teach you God's way of bringing you into these things. God's way of bringing into these things into your life is to have it written down, a vision, what you see on the inside. Now, the human brain does not think in words. It thinks in pictures. When you think about something, you think pictures. Like if I were to say to you, a beach in the Caribbean, did you see it? Yeah. White sands, crystal clear blue waters, palm trees, gentle breeze, about 81 degrees. I could even feel it. Right? Sound pretty good right now, doesn't it? So we think in pictures. You're listening to me with words and creating pictures in yourself. But vision is a picture. I like how one minister said it. Vision is a picture of a future successful condition. When you have a picture on the inside of you of a future successful condition, if your life was perfect, what would it look like? You got that picture on the inside? Can you see it on the inside? If you can see that, the instruction of the Lord is write that down. And too many of us been too beat up and taught wrong, and we say things like, I just can't see myself, and then you fill in the blank. And if you can't see it, don't bother with it, you'll never see it. But if you can see it, you can see it. You see it on the inside before you'll ever see it on the outside. Amen. Now, the secular world has discovered how some of these things work, and they call it envisioning or whatever, you know, stand in front of the mirror and talk to yourself. You are the most successful chief executive to ever, what, you know. They teach you to do stuff like that, right? Why? Because these principles in God's word work for everybody the same. Amen. So write the vision. Gave everybody an assignment last week, whatever you want to call it, the unlimited sheet, the wild sheet, if money were no object, whatever, you know, just take out some paper and start writing down every kind of crazy thing you ever thought of. Before I die, I'd like to, I'll give you an example. I haven't put it on paper. I need to. I want to visit the beaches of Normandy, France. I want to walk the sand where those brave boys hit the beaches, World War II. That's an awesome place. I like battlefields where very significant things happened. Amen? And just kind of pick up the spirit and feel that and experience that. So I guess I got to go to France, right? So that needs to go on the list. I got to go visit Normandy. And there'll be other places like that as well. So the wild sheet. Are you writing a wild sheet? I'm going to give you another week to work on it. All right? Because next week I hope to start telling you more about how to act on these things. But this week I'm going to concentrate on running. It said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. I'm in verse 2. That he may run who reads it. Now, having vision on the inside, first of all, I'm encouraging everybody, check inside and protect and grow and look at the vision. If you ever desired a new car or something like that, do you ever look at the pictures of the car? Go online, shop a little bit, look at them, right? There's power in looking at things. Amen. Look at it. First of all, you have to have the vision. Then you got to look at it. You got to write it down. But if you did all of that, had vision on the inside, you could see it clearly, but you didn't write it down, you couldn't refer to it again and again. All right? We're encouraging our grandchildren. If there's something that in your heart you desire, get a picture of it. Put it up on the refrigerator or the bathroom mirror or something like that. You have to see it. Keep seeing it. And every seeing of it is a reminder. Oh, yeah, the Lord's blessing me, and I believe I receive whatever that is, right? See it. So you have vision on the inside. It's a picture. Put it in words. Because the way that mountains move is with words. Jesus said, say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. It doesn't say, look, I got a vision on the inside, so the mountain has to move because I got a vision on the inside. You're going to have to speak to the mountain, right? So write the vision. And what's that for? If you even write the vision, but don't run with it, you're not going to reach the vision. So God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Everybody in here agree with that?
Yes.
You think that's true? God has a plan and a purpose. Do you know that your understanding of that plan and purpose is a picture in you or a series of pictures in you? Amen. When God called us to come down here to Kankakee County, start a church and so on, I had a picture on the inside, particular things about a building and staff, and I saw some things, you know? And some of it that I've seen, what we have is similar to that, but I've seen more. So when God deals with you for the plan and the purpose for your life, you're going to see it as a picture. And by the way, to repeat what we did last week, the number one way that God guides you into his plan for your life is by the desires of your heart. What you love on the inside with your heart before Almighty God is part of his plan for you. That's how he shows you. So if you would be one that would say, I would love to, and then say something, I would love to be able to minister, fill in the blank. That's there because that's God's plan for you. Amen. So I'm thinking of one individual who used to be a part of our church here, left for the right reasons. It was in her heart a particular kind of ministry. I'm certain she's going to do it. She's going to accomplish it. I don't have any doubt whatsoever. The Lord's preparing her, getting things ready. Part of the steps was you know, away from us into another place of training, it'll be coming up. It'll be coming up. I won't be shocked or surprised at all to hear one day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God has a plan, and if you'll watch for it, you will see it. And when you see it, you write it down. When light comes, when revelation comes, it is what we're calling vision. Write the vision down. Why do we write the vision down? That you may run with it. So, what is running with the vision? You need to know that. Again, to say, I have vision, to even say, I have vision and I wrote it down. So I guess it's going to happen now, right? No. You saw clearly there in Habakkuk, write the vision, make it plain, that he may run who reads it. The purpose is running. That's why it's written down, so it can be run with. Amen. It's like a blueprint to build a building. Before we do things around here, we're required to have a certain amount of blueprints done. I get a vision on the inside. I can see some things. The next step is I visit the architect, and I tell him what to put on paper. He sends me plans. I review. No, change this, 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 and this. And finally, we have written down the vision, and then we just run with it. We execute what's on the paper. So run with it. What is running with the vision? Running with the vision is, I'm just giving you what the Lord gave me. It's running with a destination, a roadmap, and a purpose. Three parts. Run with the vision. So if you've got a vision on the inside of you, you're getting it on paper, you'll have something complete. And once you have it, what is running with the vision? It's having a destination. Got to know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you have no way of knowing if you're making it. You don't know what steps to take. You have no idea if you're progressing, falling back. You just, whatever. Sometimes go up in the airplane here, give my grandkids a ride or something like that. I'm just doing circles around in the area. I've got no destination. Back home, that's it. We're going to fly some and then end up back home. So really, what purpose does that accomplish? Well, we enjoy it, but that's all we could say. Right? So a destination, a roadmap. If you know where you need to go, but you have no map on how to get there, how are you going to get there? You've got to have a roadmap, some kind of a roadmap, right? And there has to be a purpose. Why am I doing this? Because it's the desire of my heart. I love to see, for instance, for me, I love to see people grow in the Word. That's the purpose. That's why I'm here. There's a purpose. So if God has a plan and a purpose for your life, you need to know these three things. What's your destination? Do you have a roadmap? What's the roadmap? How am I getting there? And why am I going? Got to know why. If you don't know why, you won't keep going. You have to know why. So a destination, that is, where are you going? Roadmap, how will you get there? And purpose, why will you go? Those three things. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. So today, mostly what I'm accomplishing is you've got vision on the inside, spend time with God, it'll become clear to you. Let him lift the fog of years since you ever thought about a thing. Some of this stuff will go back to your childhood. Yeah, when I was a kid, I always wanted to, and then life set in. It's troubles and it's circumstances. And some of that has been there since your birth, and it needs to be brought back up again, some of your desires. So, what's the destination, the roadmap, the purpose? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Okay, let's stop there for a second. Everybody's running. We're all running. Life can seem real busy, right? Yeah. Lots of running around. You ever have a whole day where you did lots of running around and you feel like you didn't accomplish nothing? Oh, the day was filled with stuff. We did things, but really, what did it matter? Yeah. Well, stuff had to be done, but, you know, sometimes that's your most grueling and exhausting day, is just doing lots of little things, that running around, lots of running around. And as you look at all the people around you, everybody's running. But I promise you, not everybody running is receiving a prize. To be busy in and of itself is not good. What you want to be is efficient, so that every move and every step moves you toward the prize. Every step is an on-purpose movement towards your destination. That's why you need a roadmap. You want to go somewhere, you know? If you're going in the car or you're going in the airplane, whatever it may be, you're going to go somewhere. You need to know the route you're going to take. If I wanted to go to Des Moines, Iowa, I don't think I should go to Indianapolis first. That's kind of out of the way. Yeah. I got no purpose. Can I get to Des Moines by going through Indianapolis? Yeah, sure. You could. But why would you?
Yeah.
What's the purpose for that? Yeah. And a lot of expense would be spent going to Indianapolis and then coming back.
Right.
So run with purpose, right? Yes. Run to obtain a prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain a prize. Verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Temperate, good word for that would be disciplined. To be disciplined, I need to work on this myself. Say, for instance, you want a healthy body and you got to watch how much and what you eat, right? That's discipline. I need a little more discipline in that area. Anybody else? Yeah, discipline. So if the prize would be a healthier, trimmer, better functioning body, that would be the vision, that would be the prize that I have to be seeking after, and it would teach me where to be temperate or disciplined. My roadmap would say, don't eat that, or hold, not so much of that, right? I love Pepsi Cola. I almost never drink one anymore because my roadmap said, no more Pepsis. Going to be a problem for you, right? Now, there's some other things that are a problem for me, too, so we got to work on that. But anyway, temperate in all things. If you're not temperate, you probably don't have a destination or a vision. Then anything goes. Doesn't matter, right? And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. When Paul says here, when I run with certainty. Amen. Now I don't know if there's anybody in here that ever was out in the farms on a tractor, plowing or disking or something like that. But let's say you got a 200-acre field and it might be 1,000 feet across. I like seeing crops in straight rows. You ever see them kind of wander around like that? And I've learned, even mowing the grass is kind of the same thing. What do you look at when you mow the grass? If you look down at just following the edge that you're mowing, you see? And when you get to the end and look at it, it might be all over the place, inefficient. The right way to do that, tractor, mowing, whatever it is to look all the way across the field and pick a spot. My flight instructors here, this would teach me all the time in the airplane too. You pick a spot on the horizon, if you're flying visually, pick a spot on the horizon and fly to it. Fly to that. You'll go much straighter if you're looking out there instead of in the airplane. You know, I've got a compass, and I can fly like this, watching the compass, but I'll be chasing the compass back and forth, right? As opposed to look down there. You ever drive in fog? Mm-hmm. All you can see is just ahead of you, those lines. You're studying that line while you drive. You'll wander much more than if you were able to see further and just pick down there the next intersection. Just drive to that. So to run with certainty, you have to have a distant target. Don't be looking at your feet. Looking at your destination, where you want to end up. It'll help with the discipline part, the temperance part of it. So there must be certainty in your running. Writing the vision will help you pick a target that'll bring certainty to your running, that'll bring efficiency. Anybody in here besides me think that the things you're accomplishing maybe today, you really should have and could have accomplished a long time ago? What takes so long here, you know? Well, what takes so long is me. I probably was doing some of this. Losing sight of the goal, losing sight of the vision, the target. I was looking away, distracted by things, whatever. So there must be certainty in our running. Now, here's an example. My father, my dad, my daddy right here. My dad, as far as I know, he's still going at it here, doing this. Gets up in the morning. He goes running in the basement. So he goes downstairs and starts running. Starts in the basement. Guess where he ends up? In the basement. He don't go nowhere. He's doing laps. Well, in cold weather and ice and everything, that's very understandable, of course, right? So, no destination is involved. No progress is involved. No vision is involved other than he's exercising his body, of course. So what I want to say to you in life, don't be running in the basement just doing laps. Run to obtain the prize, not just run. Dr. Dobson, many years ago, said something on the radio that I heard that has stuck with me, and it's really good. He said, never let the urgent get in the way of the important. And every day, things jump up and say, I demand your attention. You got to do me right now. And because they seem urgent, we oftentimes are putting out all the little fires. When there are times when the urgent is not the important, and we need the discipline and the target and the vision to say, that is not important. I understand it's urgent and all that, but I'm making a choice to pursue the important. So instead of putting out that fire, oh, that sucker can burn down. That don't matter. This is what matters. Running with certainty, running to obtain the prize. Most people in life are just trying to survive. Anybody besides me ever feel like that? We're just trying to make ends meet, just trying to take care of the problem, just putting out the fires. Don't seem like we're making any progress. Here we are 5 years later, and it's the same thing again and again and again. I thought we are, it's like the children of Israel, another lap around the wilderness. Which, by the way, God did not intend for them to wander the wilderness for 40 years. The prize was go directly in. It required faith and believing God to take the promise and go in. And the problem was, in their eyes, they saw giants. Yes, between you and your prize, there are giants. You can be Joshua and Caleb, or you can be the others. Joshua and Caleb reported, we are well able to go in and take the land, meaning with God's help. God's given it to us. It's as good as done. Let's go fight those giants. We'll put them down. Amen. So most people are just trying to survive. They're just trying to avoid pain. Many times by avoiding pain, you'll experience more pain. Some of us sometimes say, hurry up and get it over with. Something like that. If you need a shot or something like that, you know, hurry up and get it over with. So I'm just noticing in my grandkids, what a difference between the different ones, you know, just personality and so on. And our Jenna now is taking multiple injections a day. And so it's needles, plus the sampling of her blood. And she's a trooper. Come on, let's go do the big shot. Let's go. Get it done. Never a whimper, nothing. Her sister, at the thought of just pricking her finger, you've done this twice or once? Twice? Twice they did Aubrey's finger to just get a little tiny blood sample, just so he knows what her sister's going through. It's total meltdown. Right? How many of us do what we do to try to avoid pain? Sometimes the throw in the fit is much worse than whatever it was that needed to be done. And going through days of, when it might be just a few minutes and you get her done. Get her done. So most people are just trying to survive, and most people are trying to avoid pain. They're running. They're busy. They're running. But they're running without thought of a prize. They're just running. Running back and forth. Running away from this, running away from that, instead of running to the prize, running to the vision. Amen. Let me take you to a story here. 2 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to start at 19, but don't put her up just yet. I'm going to show you a runner. I'm going to show you two runners in a story here. The background, what's happening here is David, King David, had a son named Absalom, who rose up in rebellion against him and successfully threw his father, King David, out of the capital, Jerusalem. David was on the run, and there was a battle between those forces loyal to David and loyal to Absalom, who was the new upcoming, you know, leader, all that kind of thing. And in a battle, eventually, Absalom is riding along, and he had this long, beautiful hair. He was proud of his hair. I'm not telling you something scriptures don't say. He thought much of his long, beautiful hair. You know, apparently he was a really good-looking guy, right? Scriptures talk about that. But he's riding along, and his hair flopping and flowing, and his hair goes up in the limb of a tree that he ducks under, and he's left, the mule rides out from under him, and he's left there hanging by his hair. He's left hanging by his vanity and his pride. And Joab, the commander of David's armed forces, comes upon him, and he's helplessly hanging there. Joab kills Absalom, kills the enemy, kills the rebellion. All the while, David's instructions were, don't harm Absalom, his son. David was a softy that way. Even though his son caused him to flee, David to flee for his life, David was still, don't harm Absalom. Capture him alive. Don't harm Absalom. Joab, the commander, will have none of that and goes ahead and kills Absalom. Well, now the news needs to be brought to King David what happened to Absalom. And it's not going to be news that David's going to receive real well, right? So Joab needs to send a message to David. So let's pick up 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 19. It says, then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me run now and take news to the king how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. So I'll stop for a second there. Ahimaaz is a known runner. For communications to happen in those days, one person would have to take the message to another. No wires, no wireless communications, no emails, no texts, you know, nothing. One person would have a message and take it to another. Even if it was written, a person had to take it to someone else. To communicate across the country or across battlefields and so on, there were runners. And if you were a particularly fast runner, you would be employed as a runner, right? Or you could do good distance and keep going, make good time, all that. So Ahimaaz is a runner, and he asks Joab if he can take news to King David. Verse 20. And Joab said to him, you shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead. Now let me read between the lines a little bit here. Ahimaaz is a well-known and valuable runner, very good at this. The news is bad. He tells him, you're not going to take this news to David, or any news to David today, because the king's son is dead. I see it as Joab protecting one of his best runners, because who knows what David might do at such bad news, right? Verse 21, then Joab said to the Cushite, go tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. Now this is someone else appointed to run with the message. What's his name? I don't know. He's not named. Cushy. He's a Cushite. He's from the country of Cush. I forget where Cush is. Maybe somebody else remembers, but he's got the job. He's got the dirty job. Yeah, a Cushite. I'm thinking maybe this guy is more of a throwaway.
Yeah.
Don't even name him. A foreigner. Mm-hmm. A foreign guy is given an important task, right? Again, verse 21, then Joab said to the Cushite, go tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. Verse 22, and Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, but whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite. So Ahimaaz, who's the talented runner, says, look, I'm a runner. I need to run. I want to run. I know you sent a message with somebody else, but let me run too. I don't care what happens. Just let me run, okay? I'm a runner. I run. That's what I do. And then the next it says, so Joab said, why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready? Now what we're going to see here is that Ahimaaz, who will run, doesn't know everything that happened, and he has no news. Joab is not giving him a message to deliver to the king. Why run? You've got no message. Why run? You've got no purpose in running. He's a runner, but he's got no purpose. I draw from this, you have to know why you're running. If you don't know why you're running, you're just a running. What'd you accomplish today? Well, I was running everywhere, doing everything. Yeah, but what you accomplished today? I don't know. I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Did it move us toward the target? Was it in line with our destination? Was it on the roadmap in a line, or was it off to the side somewhere? I really believe that a lot of us, the reason we haven't accomplished certain things in our lives already is there's been too many unnecessary side journeys into things that didn't matter. Amen. It's running, but it's not running to obtain the prize. This is why we need to write the vision down. You know the destination, you know the roadmap to get there, and you know why. Why are you running? Why are you running? One of your whys might be, I want to raise my children up and provide for them the tools they need to be successful in life. That's one of my whys. It's one of mine too. Amen. And so things for my kids, I look at, does this help them? If it doesn't help them, well then not, why do that? Right? Some of those things, you have to know why you're running. Verse 23, but whatever happens, he said, let me run. He says, I don't care if there's no message. I don't care what happens. Now, I think he has an inkling that the king might receive bad news and don't matter. I'm going to run anyway. And then going on in verse 23, so he said to him, this is Joab, said to him, run. In other words, okay. You have to run. Go ahead, run. It says, then Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Well, of course, he's the super runner. He's the guy that everybody's noticing. Boy, look at him run. He's a good runner. I promise you, there are people that you admire that are good runners, but there may be no message inside them. And they're running, and they look like they're skilled and talented, getting all this stuff done, but they're going nowhere with no message. We've got to be real careful about, this is the tortoise and the hare thing. We like the speed of the hare. Woo, look at him go. Yeah, but where's he going, and will he get there, and will it matter? Ahimaaz is full of himself and his ability to run. And he wants to run so everybody will know, I run faster than this Cushite. But the purpose was the delivery of a message. Oh, I don't care about none of that. I just care that everybody knows I can run. If we're not living our lives with purpose and understand the why and all of that, sometimes we're just running so people see us run. So they're impressed by how we run. There's no value in it. Verse 24. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate, to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Running alone, by the way, if his army was defeated, he wouldn't be running alone. They'd all be running back. So running alone, then it's understood that's a messenger. Verse 25, then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, if he is alone, there is news in his mouth. And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, there is another man running alone. And the king said, he also brings news. So the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. This guy was recognized by his running. Everybody was impressed with his running. The second guy was just a guy. And nobody knew. The first guy was recognized from a distance. Woo, that's Ahimaaz, I know it. Nobody runs like him. And if you're running to impress people, you might. You might. You could be known for your running. But what will you have at the end? Ahimaaz is known for his running. The Cushite, he didn't even get his name mentioned in the Bible. There's a lot of nobodies in God doing great things. But nobody sees them. And they're not known for, they're not famous for those things. Amen. Every one of us knows some famous preachers. See them on TV, heard their teachings and so on. But the vast majority of the kingdom of God's work in terms of churches and pastors is a whole lot of nobodies. Amen. Amen. A whole lot of nobodies. So if nobody knows your name, that's okay. It's all about, are you reaching the destination with a message when you run? So the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man, and he comes with good news. 28. So Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, all is well. Then he bowed down his face to the earth before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king. So he delivers what he observed, but he does not have the message from Joab. He saw some things on the battlefield. He knows they prevailed in battle. He knows that they didn't go down in defeat, but he doesn't know the details, and he doesn't have a message. 29, the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about. In other words, he can't answer the question. He don't know. He said, well, there was a lot of going ons, but what exactly happened, I don't know. So in other words, he arrived, but he had no message. He had no purpose. He got there first, but he had no purpose. Look at next. And the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. In other words, that was worthless. You didn't bring me nothing. I still don't know. You ran. You arrived first, but you didn't bring me word. Step aside. The famous runner is told to step aside for the slow guy. The guy who everybody knew was the finest runner in the land, of the highest reputation, where everybody go, ooh, look at him run. was told, step aside. Make room for that nobody. Amen. I tell you, in this story, who do you want to be? You want to be the nobody. You want to be the one who ran with purpose and has a message, has a vision on the inside. Step aside, runner. You've accomplished nothing. When we appear before Jesus, don't we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant? We don't want to hear, step aside, you didn't accomplish what I called you to do. Verse 31, just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, there is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you. So the unnamed Cushite delivers the goods. He was not a renowned runner, but he delivers the goods. You want to be someone who delivers the goods. Don't arrive first. Don't arrive with fanfare. Don't worry about all of that. Deliver the goods. Be the one who delivers the goods. It's not how fast you are, but whether or not you deliver the goods. Amen. Run with vision. Run with purpose. Run with a message. Run to make a difference. Run to deliver the goods. Everybody's running. How you run matters. And without a message, without vision, without a roadmap, without a destination, you're just running. One of the things that sometimes comes to mind, and I have to take it to the Lord and yield it to him, I know how old I am. And looking back, I wonder, how did that go by so fast? And have I accomplished anything? Much? Or have I accomplished what God's asked me to, called me to? It seems like there's so much ahead and so little behind. Right? And if I'm not careful, that catches up with me and goes, you're an old dude that did nothing. And you haven't got much time left. But I got to be careful about that. Run with vision. Run with purpose. Run to obtain a prize. Get that picture. Get it written down on paper. The roadmap. What's the roadmap? The roadmap is a series of steps and goals. If you're going from here to Des Moines, you're going to pass through other towns on your way there. If I was going to go from here to Des Moines, I'm going to go through or just around the Quad Cities. Bettendorf, Davenport, Moline, and Rock Island. So, a goal is make it to Rock Island. When I get to Rock Island, I'm a lot closer to Des Moines, you see. So vision's going to be this picture. It's way up there. And when I say write your wild sheet or write your unlimited sheet, that's your destination. And then we're going to break it down to the steps. For instance, what am I going to believe God for? What can I accomplish in 2018? And maybe, since I have more years, my vision needs to be worthy of my entire life. I need to think smaller for 2018 and move that way. The statistics say if you'll write down goals or you'll write down things you want to accomplish, you're 50 times more likely to accomplish them. Just the simple act of writing them down. So we're saying write them down, look at them again and again as a roadmap. Say those things, because that's how you move mountains, and watch God check them off. My wife said to me this morning there were two things on her, that she was going to put on her list for 2018. We're working the unlimited sheet right now that she can't even put there because they've already been accomplished because we've been talking about them. Already done. Already done. So dream big. Think about the entire purpose of your whole life and start putting things on that list. As I mentioned earlier, I better put Normandy, France on my list. I want to go there. I want to go there before I die. So I better put it on my unlimited list, right? Do I need to do it in 2018? I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't know if I'm going to put it on the 2018. You start budgeting your faith, just like you have probably about so much money, although stretch yourself, believe for more than what you're earning now. I don't know if I want to use faith for that. I have other priorities for this year, right? So that's what we're working towards. A roadmap is a budget plan of how you're going to expend your faith. Now, you can grow your faith. If you grow your faith, you can accomplish more in the future. So that's what we're working towards. Write the unlimited sheet, and then we're going to start talking about breaking it down and how to put it together for this year and how to operate in faith. And if you'll do this, if you'll follow with me in doing this, we will see unbelievable things come to pass this year. God loves surprising us. Something you want to accomplish by the end of the year, he may just bump the schedule up on you. There it is. How about that? And he'll say to you, I knew you'd like that. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? So run with purpose. You write the vision so you can run with it. Don't just be running. Run with purpose. Run with vision. Run with a message. And we're going to talk more about how to run. Father, we just bless you and thank you for your word. You're so good to us. You came, Lord Jesus, that we might be born again, spirit-filled. And according to John 10:10, you came that we might have life more abundantly. We thank you that by your stripes we are healed. We thank you that you were made poor so that we might be made rich. Father, you've given us a covenant of a prosperous and abundant life. And we're endeavoring to not just see it way out there, but to live it and experience it. And have it be our own personal experience. And we tell others all about it too. Father, we thank you for these things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Do it. You'll be blessed.